When life gets harder, you get smarter. You don't mission, you level up like a boss. Connect Vox Fibre to your home, starting from 554 Rand per month. Level up your experience with Airtime's Wi-Fi boosters, Vobi Voice app calling, Office 365, and over 160 other products to enhance your lifestyle. Live smart. Level up with Vox. Visit vox.co.za to view our range. T's and C's apply.
I was asked to talk about the InfraCo, so I've got a lot of experience on the FiberCo, but not so lot on DataCo and also the TowerCo. But as you can see in the slide behind me, they're all linked to each other. So from the end user, you either link wireless or through fiber to the data center, which... Ooh, that's the wrong presentation. Okay. So they're all linked to each other. So the question is there a business case to make this one entity to provide a more cost-effective solution to the market, and secondly also to service the end user better? So I'm going to start with DFA, and just to give you a bit of background in the evolution of DFA as a company and as a fiber code. So when DFA was launched in 2007, we were the first open access fiber company in South Africa. That encouraged real service-based competition and contributed to major growth in the ISP industry. Today, we've got over 200 ISPs as customers. When we launched the company, we thought we were going to have 5 or 10. And it also contributed to the drop in data and voice prices. Because we were the first to do it, we had to pioneer practices to make the network sustainable. And for example, we put remote manhole access control in place so nobody could access the manholes without the knock opening the manhole. That enabled us to provide high security to our customers, also to improve mean time to repair and significantly increase our network uptime. Today we've enhanced that by putting IoT devices into our manholes where we can pick up movements in a manhole. We can pick up vibration to alert the knock that there's somebody close to the manhole with a back actor. And we also monitor water levels in the dolomite manholes so that we can proactively react to that. The next phase of the growth of the company, or the evolution of the company, was to invest in FTTH and also to build the IoT network. All of this enabled us to play a significant role in the industry. So our role in the connected world today is we connect almost all the data centers in the country, about 45 of them. We've got 15,000 kilos of fiber in the ground, and if you add Vumatel to that, it's probably a lot more. 45,000 circuits to businesses, and our footprint is across the country. It's in 25 metros, all the major ones and a lot of secondary cities. I think from a banking and investment perspective, the challenge is still to make those secondary cities returns higher than your internal rate of return. So that's the role of the FiberCo in the connected world. The FiberCo will continue to build and expand on the fiber rollout. I'm losing myself now here. So for example, in the last financial year, we added about 12% to our fiber footprint. So a few years ago, we thought we were almost done, but the demand for fiber to the business and to the homes is increasing all the time, and we keep on expanding the footprint. The most important part for a fiber company is to make sure you build a future-proof trench. You don't want to go back and replicate the trench in the future. 70% of your cost goes into the labor to build that trench. So you need to plan properly, make sure you can pick up as much end users as possible when you build in the footprint. Also, technology helped us a lot. When we started to roll out the network, we build it with a 72 core cable. Today, we can float a 288 core cable through the same network. So the capacity basically increased fourfold in the last few years. So there will be enough fiber available to drive the fourth industrial revolution. But the company had to evolve also. We need to improve our margins and our efficiency. You need to have a solid, very strong EBITDA margin to be sustainable as a fiber co, because the bulk of your expenses is below the EBITDA line in terms of depreciation and interest. So we're looking at different ways to reduce our payback periods and improve our efficiency. Through analyzing our data, we realized that 80% of your breaks happens in the backhaul. So there's not a lot of breaks in the last mile, a very small percentage of our breaks in the last mile. So we looked at the specifications on the train side. We're definitely going to use IoT a lot more to manage and control and monitor the network. We've got a company in our group that focuses on IoT. It's an open access IoT network on the Sigfox technology. It's called SquidNet, but that focuses on utilities, like Andile mentioned, the water, logistics, asset tracking. Our first revenue in SquidNet was a roaming revenue from a container that came from overseas. Not a lot of money, but it was the first revenue. And then also logistics and asset tracking. The beauty of the IoT network is that it's already been built. We cover 90% of the population, and we don't expect a lot of CapEx spend going forward. Whilst for a fiber co, you continuously have to spend CapEx to improve the network. We also moved up a bit in the value chain when we provided lit services to the customers, from demand from the customers. So we aim to have a catalog-driven order management system where we can deliver a seamless service to the customer with almost zero touch. At the moment, we can deliver a service with a customer with a technician just plugging in a CPE, the CPE picking up his hand, and we can remotely activate the customer and render the service through the software-defined network. And we're also looking at network function virtualization. And then analyzing the data on the network is crucial for us to determine areas where we can predict hotspots and weak spots in the network, so we can proactively manage that. So that's the evolution of the fiber co. So why the interest in the infra co? All three of these elements, data co, tower co, and fiber co, are all linked to each other. We play in the same value chain. So why would there be interest in the data co? From an investment perspective, and Jan, you can help me here if I'm missing the point here. So, very promising returns, trading at very high multiples, strong customer loyalty and stickiness. There will be a growing demand for data, data co companies due to the evolution of the technology. Fairly high barriers to entry. I think your biggest barrier to entry is probably location that's linked to a fiber network and power, long-term contracts, and high margins that can sustain economic downturn. So from an investor perspective, it's a tick in the box. A data co, if it's well managed, is definitely an investment opportunity. Probably the only negative thing on a data co is power in South Africa to deliver it at affordable rates, and probably also some pressure on pricing. Tower co. So in Africa, we haven't seen a lot of tower deals. We know about American Towers and Cell C deal a few years ago. But it sets a tower set as a depreciating asset on the balance sheets of the service providers. If you can take that tower out of that service provider environment and you can build a multi-tenancy model with long-term contracts, it can become an attractive investment. Tower could trade at a lower multiple than a data co, but still higher than a fiber co. And with the growing demand of 5G densification and IoT, towers will become very attractive. It's difficult to build a tower. There's environmental issues that you must take into account. So for example, when we launched SquidNet, we needed access to 1,400 towers. The tower coast didn't know about this business 2 years ago, and now we've got access to 1,400 towers. So again, I think from an investment perspective, it ticks the box. Probably the only negative side of a tower co is the old sale and leaseback model. It works well in the first few years, but it becomes a grudge purchase later on. If you sort of halfway through your contract and the prices just keep on escalating. And then the FiberCo. I think the growing demand for data, hungry applications and services. We've just launched VumaCam, the surveillance cameras. Eats up a lot of data, so the only solution for that is fiber. There will be increasing demand from the DataCo and the fiber and the TowerCo for fiber to those sites. You can also optimize the TowerCo by replacing microwave links with to the antennas with fiber. Gives you long-term contracts. It makes your cash flow predictable, and you can build efficiencies into the network by using SDN and NFV. So again, I think from an investor perspective, probably a tick in the box. If it's well managed, it's a good investment. Negative side, a lot of pressure on price. I don't see Abram here, but he knows how to negotiate price. But that is the challenge for the FiberCo. So where's the industry heading? Will we see a definite split between infrastructure providers and service providers? It's different business models, different core focuses, and a very different capital investment that's required. So technology will drive the shift in the ICT sector. There will be a growing demand in the future for reliable high-speed connectivity. But can we afford multiple investments in the different infracos? Can we afford an investment in towers and in data and in fiber if there's no synergies between the three of them? So this slide is very busy. I'm not going to focus on it, but I think we'll see a lot of unbundling happening from the infraco, from the service providers, where they will split out the fiber of their infraco, of the infrastructure. We'll see a lot of consolidation happening in the industry. We've seen a lot of consolidation happening in the fiber industry, and there'll be a lot more happening. And I think the drive in the technology, the capital required to do this, will force the industry to look at reorganizing itself. To create a fiber co that can increase the fiber, or the infra co that can increase the utilization of the asset at scale, to move up in the value chain to deliver better services to the service providers and to ensure longevity and reliance. This is just a slide to show you the trends on 5G, what the impact of that will be on towers, significant increase in towers due to the densification. Same with fiber. 5G will require a lot more fiber, the same as IoT, and then also edge computing will also increase significantly. So it just shows you the investments that will be required in the future to make all these InfraCo companies sustainable. Unfortunately, these trend lines are not the same as our revenue lines. That would have been very nice to make the investment in. So to sum it up, if I look at the TowerCo, the FiberCo, and the DataCo, very similar models. First, you need to make significant capital investment in all three of those. Secondly, you need to develop a business model to sweat that asset, so either by selling capacity or leasing capacity. Thirdly, you're all linked to each other. You cannot coexist separately. You all are linked to each other. Fourthly, probably have the same customers on the wholesale side. Most of them will be the same. And I think the last point is your acquisition strategy or your purchase strategy is probably very similar from the design engineer right through to the election of technology. Probably use the same group of people in that process to develop all of that. So I'm sure there will be synergies. The question is, and we probably need clever investment bankers to help us with that, is if you do 1 plus 1 plus 1, and it will give you more than 3, I think that's the question. I can see the synergies. I think there's an opportunity, and I think it's something that the industry probably is required to look at. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Dennis. You mentioned the Cell C. Did I drop something?
Yeah, my phone.
You mentioned the Cell C, American Tower Corporation deal, which happened, I think, must have been about, 8, 9 years ago now?
2011, I think.
Yeah. Why do you think we haven't seen more tower infrastructure deals in the South African market, and do you think they're likely to start to materialize going forward?
I think the operators see it as a strategic asset. MTN has done a lot of these deals in Africa, but not in South Africa. So I think that the question is, do they see it as a strategic asset? We've seen, for example, when we rolled out the IoT network, it's available, it's open access. They allowed us to vent on all the towers. So they're not blocking anybody from coming onto the towers. I think they're just blocking each other from coming onto the same tower.
Okay. And datacos and towercos, how serious is Dark Fiber Africa looking at this market? Do you see these two things being two big new legs of your business going forward?
Yeah, it was always part of our strategy. We wanted to be InfraCo. We've aimed a few times, but we've missed every time. So we're not successful with the acquisition yet, but I think if the right opportunity comes along, it's something we would look at, definitely.
Fascinating. I made a bit of a mistake earlier on the Slido app. Apparently, you do need to put in the hashtag AppsaInsightsTMT. No hashtag. Okay, I'm getting conflicting advice then. But the questions are coming in, so guys are figuring it out, even if we don't really know what's going on up here. Some questions coming through Slido. Do you expect MNOs to reverse their decision to sell off infrastructure and go back to co-building?
I think it makes sense. We do a lot of co-building with mobile operators at the moment. If there's an opportunity, we'll do that, and also swapping. I think the economics of the will actually force them to start doing that. Mm-hmm. I've heard the economics of 5G, for example, it's going to cost, you know, how many trillion dollars to roll it out worldwide, and if our ARPUs is going to remain the same, how are they going to fund it? I know there will be a lot of other applications also on 5G, but it's going to be a challenge to make that densification work. I think that Africa will happen slowly. They will start in the big macro sites and then building around it, but it will take time. And I think in that case, for example, we are assisting Rain with their rollout now. So we're trying to force Rain into connected buildings that will already have fiber on to see if they can use those rooftops instead of building new towers if the radio planning works out.
With an increase in demand for data and downward pressure on pricing, i.e. data must fall, what's your view on industry consolidation?
Also definitely think that will have to happen. Unfortunately, the physical infrastructure you have to build, you've got a sunk cost when it's done. So you can't drop your prices below that sunk cost. But with consolidation happening, preventing overbuild from happening, sharing the same facility, sharing the same site, you can look at reduced prices and then obviously have an impact on data. So our dark fiber prices are the same as when we launched in 2007. So I haven't increased the prices because we could sell more on the same footprint, and I think that's the key. You need to sweat that asset as much as you can and try to build efficiencies into the network, because the drivers of our cost is labor, power, and probably petrol. Mm-hmm. Well, that just goes up all the time. Mm-hmm. So if you can prevent your teams from running around by using smart devices like IoT to be proactive around it, then you can reduce prices.
We've got a couple of minutes if there are any questions from the floor. The roving mic is still available. All right, we've got a question over here. Have we got any other questions? And one over there. We'll take those two questions, one here and one there.
Tinus, I guess one of the questions would be, if you get consolidation, you kind of have the conflicting side of competition regulators, one, but also globally people are pushing back against these dominating IT companies like Google and others. So how do you kind of balance those? Do I understand the economics, but there's also the other side of it?
Yeah. If I just reflect back on how we battled to get Vumatel through the Competition Commission, I think it's going to be tough. I think the numbers were published last week that Vumatel and SADV combined is now bigger than Telkom in the FTTH space. So it will be, there will be challenges, but I think if you can do the right value proposition to the Comcom and show that you will have an impact on the data prices, because they're also investigating that, and then obviously I think you can get it through. And we've shown that. We've shown that what we've done and what Vumatel has done definitely dropped data prices. I think that will also apply to the mobile operators.
Heather?
Yeah, I wanted to raise the competition issue, but I think also there are regulatory issues in the sense that we have some quite creaky legislation and a regulator in ICASA that isn't necessarily sufficiently forward-looking. Can you think of regulatory interventions in the space which would be helpful for the kind of initiatives that you're talking about, or are there current regulations that are holding you back?
I think you need to mention the rapid deployment policy. For us as a FiberCo, that was a crucial policy that is now 14 years late. What's impacting us now significantly is the cost of a way leave, which is different in every metro. In one of the big metros, it is more expensive to apply for a way leave than to build the access infrastructure, which is ridiculous. So those prices increase, the application for a way leave increased by 5,000% in the last year. And I think the metros uses that to balance the books. And there are certain metros where we don't roll out anymore because we can't afford to do it. So unless that is handled differently and regulated across the board, across the country, you won't see fiber deployments in areas where it's expensive to roll out.
Name and shame.
Sorry?
I said name and shame.
Also our customers.
No. All right, Tinus, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Please put your hands together for Tinus Mulder, CEO of Dark Fiber Africa.